This is a HeadGum Podcast.
HM Mailbag, everybody. I'm Andrew Jupin, joined in quarantine separately by Stephen Sadak, Eric Siska, and Christopher Cabin. Fellas, how you doing?
Doing all right.
Yeah.
Doing great.
I'm drinking beer.
You're drinking beer. Yeah. I'm going to drink beer, too. By the way, if this does become a video thing, it'll be available on youtube.com/WeHateMovies, and you should be subscribed anyway, man.
Absolutely.
You should be.
So we got four letters here. We're going to read them out to y'all. Chris Cabin, you are our curator of letters, as always. Do you have any indication of who should start first here?
Steve, me, Eric, you.
Okay.
Quick question. Eric, do you have a printer?
I do.
Wow. Look at this guy.
Some news here that the President Kennedy has been dead for a long time.
For some years.
So I will start out with upcoming projects. Hey, gang. I've been listening to this show for several years, and I'm a very satisfied Patreon subscriber. That's very nice
to
say. Patreon.com/WeHateMovies. Got a ton of great content on there, including Ferris Bueller's Day Off of this month. That's a lot of fun. A We Love Movies episode. It's a good movie to watch when you're in quarantine. It's like, look at all that stuff he's doing.
Man, look at them being outside doing shit. That's cool.
Wouldn't it be nice to run through someone's backyard and tell them that dinner is ready?
Look at these people safely walking down the street.
God, I wish I could be stalked by my principal.
Hey, remember parades? They're gone.
I just got done watching The Last Mailbag and the talk of celebrity encounters, and work-related struggles reminded me of this story. So for a few years, I was running a small independent film site, writing and making podcasts. So good for you. During that time, and thank you for not plugging yourself. During that time,
I think maybe it's because this thing doesn't exist anymore.
Got it.
But if you write in with a good letter, we could plug you.
Sure.
No, just don't plug the dead is what I'm saying.
During this time, I was back home visiting Mobile, Alabama. I had happened to run into actor Richard Tyson while downtown, who is also from Mobile. I don't know who Richard Tyson is.
You're about to find out.
It's Chris from Kindergarten Cop, who I just watched that knockoff Charles Bronson's first movie, or the first big movie, called Death Kiss, which is trying to be a sequel to the Death Wish movie.
Is he playing like Paul Kersey?
He goes by K. And then a female character is like, oh, I guess I'll just call you Mr. K. So it's supposed to be Mr. Kersey. He doesn't use any accent. And I think someone dubs him, and it's like such a flat American accent.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if they used a Charles Bronson impression, they'd be sued by the estate.
Yeah, that's also why you can't call him Kersey either.
Yeah.
Can you get sued for doing an impression of someone?
I certainly hope not.
On our Patreon exclusive episode on Back to the Future Part 2, we do get into the whole lawsuit of Crispin Glover versus Spielberg and Bob Gale and Zemeckis.
Yeah.
So I feel like if you got a guy who's made up to look like Charles Bronson, I mean, he does look like him, but like the mustache and the haircut. And then doing an impression, that's like kind of stealing someone's mojo.
That's right? True. But
it makes no sense, though. Just call him Paul.
That's true.
Then the estate of Christ will...
Dude, one of them apostle estates are going to get after you there, you know? Yeah.
Remember the pearly gates? I shouldn't talk about it right now, actually. Never mind.
For anyone who doesn't automatically place it, who would automatically place it against
Eric and I just did.
Yeah. My go-to bad guy from he's my go-to bad guy from Kindergarten Cop. We chatted for a bit, and I ended up mentioning to him that we had done a show of another film of him, 1987's 3 o'clock High.
I couldn't imagine plugging a podcast I did to a celebrity.
Like, hey man, I spent some time talking about this movie you may or may not remember making called 3 o'clock High.
I got his number. He definitely had a few, and he agreed to do an interview, which was
whoa.
Sixed my number.
Yeah, dude, did you sext him, man?
Sext me Crisp's phone number.
A good interview, which is definitely a big get for the site I was trying to run. So a few weeks later, we did the interview. While I was excited and felt he was very giving to do this for me, well, it became pretty apparent that this guy was kind of off and was speaking very highly of situations and projects that were weird to bring up and or would probably never materialize, like just an ego stroke and a way to complain about the industry to one of the only people that would listen.
Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger had me fucking blacklisted, man. That's all Arnie's fault. I'd be as big as Arnie right now or bigger.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the talks for Iron Man 5. We'll see how it goes.
Look, I had Crisp for President t-shirts made up by the hundreds, ready to sell, and he fucking sued me.
I had Crisp for breakfast this morning.
I also found out later that about some not-so-savory behavior, including an arrest later while in Mobile, that kind of tainted the experience of the conversation I had with him. It sounds like a bad arrest, is my guess.
We mentioned it on our live episode on Kindergarten Cop in Portland, Oregon, which is available on the main feed. But he did get arrested for, I think, drunken disorderly conduct.
Yeah. But the interview brought a little bit of light to the site and even led to another interview with an Italian movie producer involved in a never released film Tyson had mentioned. That interview had a similar sketchy vibe. It is about
snuff film.
Yeah, I make a movies. What do you want to see? You want to see a girl? I bring a girl to your house.
We cut up the kid in the movie.
The craziest thing is the interview, which that was exactly verbatim, was with Dino De Laurentiis.
Do you sit around waiting for Kindergarten Cop 2, or do you go to Italy and make some movie?
I had a little cognac, went into the screening room, had myself a Richard Tyson Film Festival.
This week I get punched by Arnold Schwarzenegger, then it's Sylvester Stallone, then it's Seagal. Down goes you, down goes your whole career.
Soon enough, a Charles Bronson impersonator is kicking you around.
And goes see, your career as a leading man. Crisp did not fucking listen to Al Pacino, man. He did not do it.
35 millimeter print of 3 o'clock high.
It'd probably be valuable.
They're out there, probably. Dude. Guaranteed.
Similar sketchy vibe, and it was about producer involved in a film Tyson had mentioned. That interview had a similar sketchy vibe and was about something that still hadn't happened several years later. So my question is, with all of you working within the film industry with different regards throughout the years, can you recall any opportunities you took or people you dealt with who try to get a leg up or movie ahead in this letter is just written terribly. Try to get a let up, or you need some fucking commas, dude. Try to get a leg up, or a move ahead in what you were doing later that made you feel gross, regretful for using it as a stepping stone. Thanks for all the great content, Marcus.
Okay, so is Marcus using this interview with him as a stepping stone? What is the question exactly?
No, I guess this question is, have you ever like dealt with somebody that like, oh, cool, I'm getting to deal with this guy, but he's doing something unsavory, and you're like, oh, okay, this guy's kind of gross.
I thought he was asking if we've used an encounter with a celebrity to like stepping stone something we were working on.
No, definitely not.
That
I could say.
I had mentioned it to some people where I used to work at Showtime, and I had some of them come to some shows, and I kind of mentioned it to people. No one cared. So there's the answer. No one gives a fuck.
Yeah. The only one that I vaguely have was I was doing something as part of an internet radio show years ago, and we went to Comic-Con, et cetera, and it was like trying to get interviews with anybody, and we got Virgil from the WWF or the WWE, who was the Million Dollar Man's like number two, and it was like, oh, cool, this guy. And like it was just like, hey, man, we want to interview this thing. He's like, $200. Like, wait, we don't really have... And he got really mad that we would even talk to him about doing an interview without paying him.
Yikes.
Because he was there to make money, obviously. It was a thing where it was like, you know, hey, a picture's this and this is that.
Sure.
But conversation's like, $200.
Exactly.
I mean, I guess at that level.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's shitty. It's shitty.
I always hated inviting people to things, you know, like Steve back in our improv days, you know, begging people to fucking come to shows and shit. That was always humiliating. I mean, the closest thing I can think of to what Marcus is asking us, one time we did a sketch show, quotation marks there, for at this nothing theater in the Village, where the woman who was running it was a character actress who had appeared in the film Basket Case. And I remember us kind of being like, well, she's been in movies. We're not in movies. This could be a great opportunity. And then she was like, we get there and she's like, you know, hey guys, you got any money to help me cover the bar? I'm taking a real bath on this show. And we were like,
nah. Fuck this. Nah.
Tonic water, $10.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Chris Cabin, you got the next one?
Oh, yeah, okay. So, all right. Rise of the Seat Puker.
Uh-oh.
All right. So, hey, guys, I love your show, especially the Mandalorian recaps. Thanks for all you do.
You're very welcome.
It's funny that they should mention that, because we have Mandalorian recaps on patreon.com/wehatemovies, and I believe that show is now finally premiering in the UK. So if you're behind, smoke a vape pen and check out our fucking recaps.
Mm-hmm. I've got a puke story for you that happened at the midnight screening of The Rise of Skywalker in 4DX, Brave Soul.
Was it on screen?
All the story. All the story is they watched that movie and then everyone fucking collectively threw up.
I will say, every day that passes, I sour on that film a little bit more.
Every ding dong day, dude.
Every Disney story that comes out was like, actually, guys, Palpatine is a clone and he never adds. And it's like, dude, just shut up. The movie's over.
They got to get a tourniquet on that thing.
Yes.
It just will not stop. And I don't care.
I mentioned this on Twitter, and I feel like that movie, there's never been a better case for a special edition. Like, you have the precedence.
Yes.
You've released how many versions of the original trilogy? I don't care if it's 4 hours long. Give me a coherent film of what you were trying to do.
Absolutely, with The Rise of Skywalker. Dude. Like, I feel like if you go back to the drawing board with that, if you have that fucking footage shot or whatever, I mean, I'll watch it. I'll give it another try, but I'm
put it on
you,
Disney
Steve.
Plus.
My boyfriend and I sat down and prepared ourselves for our first 4DX experience.
I wonder if their first 4DX experience, like mine, was also their last 4DX experience. Because
What did you see in 4DX?
I accidentally saw the most recent Mission Impossible movie that way. Which one was that? Fallout?
Yeah.
So what is that experience? I haven't been to 4DX. I've accidentally bought expensive tickets. I was like, why is this $26? Okay. And it's just like the Dolby Atmos. I haven't been in the 4DX. So that's where like the seat spits on you or something.
Also, well, like if you're at like Godzilla King of the Monsters, when it's raining, like you get misted.
Why would I want to get wet in a movie theater?
Had a great question.
if you're on a date, it makes sense.
But I guess.
But like, it's not just that though. Like the seats move like you're on a roller coaster, and it's I didn't know what to expect, and they have like a preview thing where it does all the movements. There's massive like fans in the ceiling to simulate wind and shit. And you know, I got like my good buddies Diet Coke and fucking Mr. Popcorn, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? You're just like flying all over the place, and I'm like,
that's
stupid. I did not sign up. I mean, I guess I signed up for it, but I didn't know I was signing up for it, you know.
Although like seeing Tom Cruise and Henry Cavill fight, my butt could jiggle.
Yeah,
I'd be okay.
It's doing it on its own, though.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Chris.
We weren't sure exactly how intense all the action was going to be with the moving seats, mist, and scents. I forgot about that part. It turns out the man sitting behind us didn't come prepared either. The film begins with some rather intense spaceship action, which made the seats jostle us around a fair amount. I don't know how anyone was able to consume popcorn during this with that. Yeah. Hold on, Mr. Popcorn.
Dude, I was really, you have to find your moments to like take a sip of soda and shit. It sucks. And that's, you better believe you're not going to the bathroom that whole time.
You know what, dude? When it's a fucking actually made experience, I get it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, those stupid, like, Great Adventure rides or Disney World rides or Marty, we're gonna figure... Oh, sure. The smell is weird.
It's planned. Know? It's planned by the filmmaker, like the 4DX. Like, who's running that show? Who picks when you get spit on?
It's a thing. I think it's all, like, a computer program, and it's just, like, when the time code hits this, you know, when the, in Mission Impossible, when they were just, like, driving in a car, you're kind of like... So it just knows, like, just like a soundtrack, basically.
God, see, this is the thing. The theaters are trying to get you in there through all these different things, but that doesn't sound enjoyable.
It's kind of like if a massage chair was trying to attack you.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
About 20 minutes in, we heard an unmistakable retching sound from behind us.
Oh, boy.
It was like, somehow, Palpatine has returned.
Oh my god, he looks like that.
Wait, how many wayfinders? Oh Jesus.
Oh, puking. Puking, vomit. That's Sith technology.
When I turned around, I saw a huge man puking into his bucket of popcorn.
Huge man. I like the details.
This is this huge fucking refrigerator of a person vomiting.
Yeah. Is he enormous like the guy from The Hills Have Eyes or what?
Maybe he was a Wookiee.
Oh my god, you gotta hold all of his hair back.
Oh. Now, Chewie, this is gonna hurt, pal. I gotta cut this out of you.
You refuse to take a bath, so I gotta cut out your dirty hair.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I thought he was also getting like a C-section.
You bit my shoulder last time I tried to shampoo you, you bastard. Nobody had much of a reaction the first time, nor did the man excuse himself.
Well, come on.
Well, that's he just vomited. It's not a big deal. I'm just going to remain seated and be fine.
Oh, he's just excited. I'm excited too.
But you can't be breaking balls about the fact that this guy didn't excuse himself. He's obviously humiliated.
If I'm seeing a Star Wars movie for the first time, you could be puking on me. And I'm watching the movie. I'm not leaving.
Another 15 minutes later, we heard the same sound, only longer and wetter sounding.
Excellent.
The man had thrown up again into his popcorn bucket. This is when the person next to him shot up and moved a few seats down.
Dude, talk about fucking free refills, by the way.
Oh, nice.
I mean...
Can you feel it? Put it on the puke. Put the popcorn on the puke. No, I'm not going to go home. I would never. It's Star Wars. I'm staying right here.
I mean, I guess this is helping us illustrate a point that being sick people in public... No thanks.
No way.
Stay the fuck home.
You're totally
right. What's happening?
Sir, would you like me to puke halfway through, fill it the rest with the popcorn, and then puke on the top too?
Eric, are you saying you might be the patient zero of this whole situation? It's not the Chinese virus. It's the rise of Star Wars virus.
Star Wars puker. They're out there. They're puking up the theaters. The molecules of poop and puke. Go everywhere.
And it's going in your mouth, folks. That's exactly where it's going.
J.J. Abrams made a Star Wars movie so bad that the whole country has to stay indoors.
That's right. No more theatrical exhibition. It's over, folks. No more. Skywalker and it sucked. We're going to be done. Thankfully the puking man got up this time and left. We were hoping for good. We were wrong. He showed back up 10 minutes later with a new popcorn bucket.
No way!
And completely reeking of puke.
Yeah, I'm going to need a new bucket. I threw up twice on my popcorn. Listen, man, you got to help me out. I'll pay half price.
I mean,
just going back for more. You're already been puking. You're not going to hold it down.
Look, in my defense, there's nothing left in there.
The other person he was sitting next to sharply whispered at him, "You're not fucking sitting by us." to which the man replied at full volume in what I can only describe as a cartoon elephant's voice.
fair enough.
"I'm sorry, I'm sick." We were both praying it was only motion sickness and this monster didn't puke flu germs everywhere because he absolutely had to see Star Wars opening night.
Understand it, but at the same time, yeah. Given what is happening.
Yes, maybe not the best idea.
Look, man, I think we're all learning lessons here. Yeah.
Wash your hands. If
you have to see Star Wars, okay, you could go see Star Wars. It's a big deal.
My youngest son, Greg, or whatever, he's excited about it.
The Rise of the Skywalker is an impeachment hoax. This all happened pretty early on in the movie, so we had to sit through the rest of it with faint puke smell wafting near us as the smell-o-vision for the film. Needless to say, it kind of tainted the 4DX experience for me, and I probably won't be clamoring to try it again. Have any of you tried 4DX yet? What would be your ideal movie to see that way? I hope to see you guys again in Chicago next year at some point. I had such a blast at the Child's Play show. Regards, Allison H.
Excellent. That was a fucking fun show, man, I gotta say.
Yeah, thank you, Allison, by the way. Thank you for writing in, and thank you for telling us about the puking thing.
And I will say, all of our June tour dates are still not canceled. So
As of now,
still not canceled.
The venues will refund if something were to happen that we would then cancel them. So I would say better to be safe than sorry in many ways. Wash your hands and buy tickets now.
Yes.
I will say I thought that I was at a fucking 4DX theater it was 2 weeks ago now when we saw The Invisible Man, which is a great movie.
Loved it.
Very good. And we're hanging out. We're at the AMC, the 13 there, which is...
Oh, on 3rd Avenue?
Yeah, it's a nice little theater.
Yeah, totally.
And this guy, the movie starts, the credits, it's like three seats away from me. It's my wife, a buddy of ours, and then next to him is this guy. And immediately, the lights go down, the movie starts. It's like this quiet opening of her alone in the apartment with the boyfriend. You hear a soda can open, and you're like, probably would have done that during the trailers, FYI. Also to bring a soda can.
Absolutely.
You sure it's soda? It's probably beer, right?
No, it was soda because it went very well with his fucking family size bag of kettle chips.
Oh, come on.
Kind, dude. And he's just going, it's just like all this tension, rustling car crunch,
dude.
Noise.
No, there's so much fucking silence in that movie. No way.
There's so many reasons that are killing the theatrical experience, and bad people going to the movies is chief among them.
I will tell you, at the end of it, which was the most outrageous thing I've ever seen, he did the "let me tip the bag back" thing.
Oh, I'm gonna drink the dust.
Drinking chip dust.
Hey, cool. I'm drinking chip dust. Oh, why did you buy Larry's new patented chip dust?
At the Golden Corral, we got chip dust. A chip dust fountain you would never want. No.
Was he like tapping the bag?
He wanted every last bit.
Good to the last crumb.
And a few times,
your money's worth.
He went to a girlfriend who I can't imagine what she was thinking. We go, "You want some? I got a lot of kettle chips here.
You want some dust, honey? You know the best salt's on the bottom."
It was an outrage.
What you get a confirmation on that flavor of kettle chip by any chance?
I think it might have been jalapeno, which is my favorite. Well, yeah.
Yeah, but then you got fucking burning asshole in the theater too, maybe. I don't know about that.
This guy didn't care.
No, he did not. This guy didn't care about fucking anybody.
Yeah, I think we covered the question about 4DX. It fucking sucks. Ignore it forever.
Yeah, I have not been. And what movie would you want to see in 4DX, though?
Society.
It's kind of related. I never did, but the film form, they did The Tingler, the Vincent Price movie,
yeah.
where you had the actual like seat yep. stuff from, I guess, the 50s.
Yeah.
When the initial release, I would maybe do that.
That
I think
that's
better than
40X. Yeah, that shit's like fun and campy,
I'm sure,
at least.
Yeah. Yeah. At least it has a place in history.
I'd kind of like to see The Fugitive in 4DX. You know what I mean? The bus is rocking. Like, oh, you know, when he goes
When he jumps off that the fucking sewer thing, dude, you are getting a ton of splashback, guaranteed.
Yeah, dude, a little splash. You get to smell the beer on the St. Patrick's Day scene, smell his shaving cream at parts. That's kind of fun.
You know what's probably great is Speed Racer.
Mm. Oh,
I
yeah.
still have not seen it.
People love it.
Use your quarantine time to get super fucked up and watch Speed yeah. Racer. Mm-hmm. Right. It's visually a great thing to fucking green out to, but also you get to see John Goodman utter the line ninja, more like nanja, after he murders a person.
I like it.
It's fucking great.
Yeah, I'm
gonna huff some paint back there and then I'll get to it.
I don't have a connected Jersey City, sadly, so I won't be enjoying that.
Fuck, these are some hard times, everybody.
Yeah, they are. I'm putting that out there.
There you go. Yeah.
Comment below. No, don't.
Oh, so who are we at? Eric Siska?
Eric Siska.
Where are we?
Another bad blind date. Yeah.
Hey, guys. Longtime fan. Started with episode 15, Boys and Girls.
Wow.
That was forever ago.
I don't even remember
heard that name in a long time.
Seriously, shit.
Yeah. Wow. Episode 15. So this person has been listening since 2011. Early 2011. I was listening to one of your mailbag episodes where you were recounting some of your bad movie dates. It made me remember the worst movie date I had. I was set up on a blind date, a double date, by a couple I knew back in high school.
Wait, a blind double date? So does that mean like...
Blind double date.
Does that mean you don't know all three people that are involved?
It yes. means you poke both your eyes out.
He got a vanilla envelope and it was just like, this is where you have to be and this will be your blind double date.
Jigsaw setting up dates. The couple set us up and we agreed to go to a movie. The four of us went to see Multiplicity starring Michael Keaton. My date was cute and I paid for the tickets because I was a gentleman.
Well done.
I also offered to buy her snacks. Did she start puking in the popcorn?
I'll have a Clark bar.
Now, we were at a small town theater that had four screens.
I saw Multiplicity in a small town. So clone of Michael Keaton in a small town.
There was a slow clone in the small town.
Fuck Danny McDowell in a small town.
I would love, like, someone should update. Like, what's Richard Cheese doing? Come on. Update the John Cougar Mellencamp catalog to be relevant for new generations such as was just transpired.
Yep.
This town was only 5,000 people. It's a big town for me. So the snack counter offered drinks, popcorn, and a very limited number of other various snacks.
Okay.
One of my pet peeves is people who take way too long to order movie snacks.
Uh-oh, this
and
is going
my
bad
date already. Decided to take her time. Dude, cool it.
Listen, babe, I am paying for these snacks, but only if they are ordered in the next 20 seconds.
If you're going on a date with anyone, and if you're actually interested in them, they can take a half an hour to fucking pick the snack.
Just chill out. Just relax a little bit.
Yeah.
I might freak out after 30 minutes. That might just do it.
Actually, I don't know. When we read ahead here, this is pretty egregious.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I apologize. And apparently your date is trash. So she finally decided what she wanted after 15 minutes of hemming and hawing.
All right.
I mean, this is 15 minutes is a long exaggeration, fucking time.
It's probably a long time,
but it also might be an exaggeration.
Mm-hmm.
Playing devil's advocate tonight on the show.
Excellent. Hoo-ha!
Wait, no, wrong Al Pacino.
Thousand pancakes. Sorry.
While staring at a compact sign above the snack counter, even the guy behind the counter looked like he was about to lose it.
Yeesh.
I mean,
we all see what we want to see.
Well, listen, you know, I worked at a multiplex for 6 years. Those people look like you're going to lose it all the time because you're about to.
I let that go for the sake of the date. For all I know, she was just nervous as me. Anyway, I sat through 120 long, boring, unfunny minutes of the movie, during which my date farted loudly at least six times without any
acknowledgement. What, are you going to the movies with fucking Rodney Dangerfield?
Yeah, okay. No, I don't want popcorn or baked beans. I'll just take the baked beans.
Like, what snack is this?
Do you have broccoli and cauliflower? Yeah, I'm just going to have broccoli and cauliflower.
You know what'll do it, dude? Fucking jalapeno kettle chips, guaranteed.
Oh, that dude did.
After the movie ended, I excused myself to go to the bathroom.
Sorry, I just can't get over it. I apologize.
After the movie ended, I excused myself to go to the bathroom while the other three went outside. When I came out, the couple that had set us up had just left. So I guess it was a blind date, but you were on a double date.
Yeah.
I think it was like, yours was blind.
It was like, oh, you would, the couple was like, oh, you'd love Mary. She's great. She farts all the time.
You like farters, right? Oh, wait, Jeff, you're not our friend with the fart fetish? Fuck. Oh, actually, shit. Wait a second. This is bullshit, though. He's saying he got out of the bathroom and those people had just left.
But I think that
sounds like they were waiting outside.
Oh,
okay. Let's find out together. Okay. That's I guess the couple did just leave. When I came out, the couple that had set us up just left. Okay, that's fine.
I guess that's sort of like a let's see how it goes. You guys, right, we don't want to interrupt you guys. We heard her farting before. She sounds pretty aroused.
She's ready to go, dude.
Yeah, we forgot to tell you, buddy. Our friend Sally, whenever she gets horny, she farts uncontrollably.
Oh, you're doing a good job.
We decided to go to a nearby coffee shop and talk. Boy, was that a mistake.
Yeah, exactly. Don't put coffee on that fart.
That turned a fart. You put coffee on a fart, you got yourself a shit.
That's exactly right.
And she shit five times while we were there.
She's just shitting in the popcorn bucket. I understand if this gets taken down from YouTube or iTunes.
We're just talking about, we're just talking about farts and whatnot, man. Like there's like actual white supremacy on this website.
That's true. Okay, so
Cabot, are you drinking mead or something? What the fuck is in that?
You're drinking tea.
I thought mead. Yeah. I thought he had some mead there.
No.
It actually looks like blood.
No, it doesn't.
I haven't seen Chris in a while. It could be a vampire now.
That's true.
It's true. Yeah, he looks it. All right. So where was I? Okay. So they were at the coffee shop, and it was a mistake. I tried to start a conversation several times, and all I got back was one-word answers. It was 20 minutes of, so what kind of things are you into? Not much. What do you want to do after you graduate? I don't know.
Oh, that's fair.
I mean, young people are indecisive. Finally, her mom picked her up and I got the hell out of there. Okay, so where was I?
Finally.
Okay, I never called her back. I heard later that she had a great time on the date and I thought that was very interesting. I just couldn't see myself on a second date with someone who took forever to order, farted uncontrollably, and then couldn't even hold one conversation.
Hold on. Now, my question is, what does farted uncontrollably mean? Are we talking one fart or like 10 farts?
A Sadiakian level.
If we go back through the text here, it says farted loudly at least six times.
Nine times?
I'm sorry, but after the first fart on a date especially, you checking things out in the restroom, trying to get the rest of that gas out of there.
I agree, totally.
A tip for the kids.
Also, you're watching Multiplicity, man. You can go to the bathroom.
Wait, how many clothes? What did I miss? Who's the stupid one? What?
He didn't even get that I was doing a fart for every clone. He didn't even put it together.
Which one is Andy McDowell fucking? All of them? Okay. Okay.
Never called her back. Okay, so I never once did a blind date again in my life.
It's like bad chicken.
I know you have already talked about your worst movie dates, so I thought you could I could ask for your thoughts on buying snacks at the theater. I believe that if you don't know what you want, you should step out of the line until you do. Do you agree? D Mac from Kingston, Ontario, Canada. And I do agree, step out of the line until you know what you want.
Yeah.
Not just movie snacks, that's everywhere.
Yeah,
like, absolutely. I mean,
do not show up to any counter being like, what do you have? Because I can't.
Also, a cousin of this that I want to throw out there. If you're the kind of person that goes into like a restaurant and you're like, so what's good here? Like you're asking the server, like, so what's good here? Fuck you, man. That person doesn't fucking know what you like to eat. That person doesn't know if you have a shellfish allergy. You know what I mean?
If you're like sitting down with a wait staff and you ask them like the specials or what they recommend, I can understand it. But then you're also in the trap where it's like, oh, you know, you should try this. And then you immediately not order that.
Yes, exactly.
You're kind of in a trap.
Hi, I have no opinions or inner life at all. Could you tell me what to eat, please?
Also, the other thing, though, with like a movie theater concession stand line. I don't know. There's only like tops four things, right?
Yeah.
I mean, soda, popcorn,
also
fucking candy, nachos.
This is back when Multiplicity was in theaters, so there was popcorn and Milk Duds, and get the fuck out of here.
No, I think you got the free bag. You had the bags that you could weigh at that point.
Oh, bulk candy, yeah. Man, that was a fucking dangerous mistress right there.
Do they still do that? I don't think so.
No, they don't.
No.
Because it's like a germ trap, probably.
Again, yeah. All right, the last one of the evening.
Letter, yeah.
From the Department of Criminal Dumps. I feel so honored.
It's a great theme that we have on this show.
Hi, guys. I heard you mention Mailbag is choosing only the finest selection of emails. So this probably won't make the cut, but I'll go on anyway. Well, look at you now. See,
you're in the final slot, dude. This is the hammer.
Exactly. That's why, you know, it pays to just take a chance, man. You never know. I heard Steve's story in the Ferris Bueller episode about coming home early from school to take a dump. And his sister thought he was a burglar. Well, they were both homesick, was what it was.
Yes, that's it.
Someone joked about how burglars don't stop burglaring to take a dump. My evidence proves otherwise. About 2 years ago, I had to leave my house semi-abandoned for about 6 months for family issues. Even though I still came back to check up on things once a week, word must have gotten out that the house was vacant. One night, while my neighbor was on her porch listening to a police scanner, don't ask. You know what? He says, don't ask. I say, what the fuck?
I don't know. A semi-abandoned neighbor with the police scanner. It's all fitting together.
she heard the sound of glass breaking coming from my living room. She saw a strange car.
Austin 316.
By God, Stone Cold Steve Austin is robbing that house. she saw a strange car was in my driveway. She called 911 and then moved her giant pickup in front of the driveway to block the robbers because no one has ever driven on a front lawn.
Well, also, but that fits with the police scanner mentality.
Totally, dude. A real fucking hero on her hands.
Yeah. She probably was screaming like, burn the fields. The cops are coming.
Yeah, burn the crops behind you as you retreat. Classic warfare tactic.
The crooks were arrested, and maybe my neighbor should have won a medal for heroism or something, but I think she just got chewed out by the cops for getting involved. They don't like that.
No, nobody wants the Paul Kersey running around.
No, absolutely not.
I thought somebody was being burgled,
so I parked my car in front of theirs.
Stone Cold Steve Austin, I got a stunner.
Excuse me, do you have a young daughter I could flirt with?
Who will inevitably be murdered later.
Anyhow, when I came in, a lot of my stuff was staged in the living room to be taken. When I went upstairs to the bathroom, I found the toilet had been totally defiled in a way that my models have not been able to account for. Completely dominated around the bowl, on the seat, and even under the seat.
Wow.
Completely dominated.
Like, someone, someone like shit squat like in the air to like get it on the seat.
But this seems like it's a thing where they are like, and I hate to be talking like this, ladies and gentlemen, but like picked it up and was throwing it. You know what I mean?
Did the toilet forget the safe word?
Like in
pineapple.
Like just writing shit on the wall with shit. What was that movie? Savages?
Quills.
Quills. Yeah.
Both of them.
Yeah.
Right. Wasn't that like retirement home mom and dad shit movie? What was that?
Oh,
are you thinking of The Hoffman? Savages with Philip Seymour Hoffman and Laura Linney?
Yes, I am.
Oh, right. Yes.
Oh, the dude writes some shit in that?
Yeah.
Oh, really? I forgot.
Don't forget, dude.
Never seen anything like it. Have been to punk show bathrooms. been there. I thought maybe if they hadn't stopped to take a dump, maybe they would have gotten away. Anyhow, you're wrong. Burglars do stop to take a dump. Great show. Thanks, Pete in California.
When you gotta go, you gotta go.
Yeah.
And you're nervous. You know what I mean? You're in the middle of a crime. You know,
you're not nervous.
That's a good point. Maybe it was a rookie burglar.
Well, no, but the language she uses, it sounds more like it was planned. Like they were eating a lot of fiber the day before.
I think it's a thing to add insult to injury, man. It's like, I'm gonna rob this dude's house, and also I'm gonna fucking smear shit all over this guy's bathroom. Really stick it to him.
That's dominance. That's real dominance.
Speaking of burglaries, I just want to say a nice quarantine rec from Steve Sadak, The Repair Shop on Netflix. Is anyone else watching this?
No, what is that?
It's a British show wherein people bring in stuff, old antiques, to get repaired by this like very charming staff. And like 9 out of 10 people is like, "This was my grandmother's before she got burgled." And like, either stuff got ruined or stolen. There's like a rash of burglaries in the UK, but it is a very relaxing show for times like this.
When you say British show, I'm out.
No, I'm in. I am in, baby.
No, I'm pretty much in, especially if Granny Shaggers might be involved. But as soon as you said what it was, though, Steve, I do recall, I think it was a thing where it was like, maybe we were watching some of one of the various, Zen baking things.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, if you like this, you'll like The Repair Shop.
Yes, it's exactly in that vein of the Great British Bake Off, where everybody's very nice, it's very sweet, and it's like, let's relax together.
Here's a question, though. It would be better, right, if that guy was like breaking shit accidentally all the time. Well, I tried again, and I broke something else at the repair shop.
If it was like the Great British Apology, that was the show, I'd be in. I fucked it up, ma'am.
I'm sorry, ma'am. I shat all over your vase.
I buggered your clock, mate.
Sorry, I wrote Van Halen rules on your antique water chest. Apologies. The funny thing, though, about that show is they do this thing in the last act where it's like, they better hurry fast before Simon comes back to check on his grandfather's vase. And it's like, I don't know if he comes back. Is that ready? Like, give us a minute. Like, it's not like, oh my God, this guy's going to lose his shit.
Dude, yeah, if he comes back and this cuckoo clock isn't fixed, we're going to be murdered.
Exactly. Like,
the teeth.
Why don't you go around the back, get a cup of coffee? We'll see you in 10 minutes.
Do you get that like urgent reality TV stuff? Like,
it's not there, but it's pretty close.
Oh, man. All right. Well, so that's going to about do it for the first quarantined mailbag.
This is a promo for what we're doing. We are doing a lot of extra stuff for the quarantine, specifically a new free show called Melro 210.
That's right.
We're talking about these guys.
You have a 90210 lunchbox.
A friend of mine gave it to us as a gag gift, and we've never gotten rid of it.
Is the friend you're talking about your bank account?
Yes. No, exactly. No, but Melro 210 will be talking about 90210, and it's a twice-weekly show where one on Mondays we'll be talking about Beverly Hills 90210 in order, and on Thursdays we'll be talking about Melrose Place in order. So that's probably even out now, depending on when this thing comes out. Who knows?
You never know, man. You never know. But so that's going to do it for this round of quarantine mailbag. Until next time, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Tadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
Take it easy. What is that skeleton?
That was a HeadGum Podcast.